Mark chapter number 5 this morning. If you're able, I would ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to cover a lot of text this morning, so you bear with us. Mark chapter number 5. If you would, look with us in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we've came into St. Mark chapter number 5 this morning, I want to say this to you, that this is early in the ministry of Christ, but yet we see Christ has already performed many miracles. If we'll go over to Mark chapter number 3 this morning, I'm going to cover this text real quickly, but if we'll go over to Mark chapter number 3 this morning, the Bible says in verse number 10, For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. I want to say this to you this morning, everywhere Christ went, there was somebody looking for help. And I'll say this to you this morning. I truly believe this, that there are people here this morning in the pews that are looking for help. You've tried to find help everywhere else. You've tried to find help in your friends and your relatives. You've tried to find help doing things on your own. But in sincerity this morning, you're not finding the help that you need. And the Bible said that where Jesus went, there was many that wanted to touch him. They'd heard of his healing power, and they had heard of the miracles that he had performed. Can I say this to you this morning and be clear in what I'm saying? The same Jesus that we're reading about is the same Jesus that you and I are serving today. The same Jesus that healed the plagues then is the same Jesus that can heal you and I today. It is the same Jesus that we are serving, that Mark was pinning down of the miracles that he performed. But I want you to notice in Mark chapter number 3 and verse 10, not only those that had plagues, but also those that had unclean spirits. In verse number 11, the Bible says, When they saw him, they fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. I'll say this to you this morning. We'll move on in the text of our message. But if you can read this and understand what Mark is writing, he says, Those who are possessed by devils. Now, listen to me. Don't you fall off the wagon with me right here. But I truly believe that back 2,000 years ago, the Bible recorded that there was people that had unclean spirits. There was people that were demonically possessed, and they had turned their life over to sin and gave room for Satan and his demon and angels. I truly believe this morning. Listen to me. I truly believe that we are seeing American people that are possessed by the spirits of the devil and possessed by the demons of hell, and that is why this country is in the shape it's in. Hey, listen to me, honey. Not a normal person would walk into a school and kill those innocent little children. Listen to me. Not a one that's hooked on these drugs and sold out for the life of sin. I would do that under a normal condition. But I believe in my heart of hearts. You say, preacher, you believe people are possessed by the devil. Honey, I'm telling you, our young people are selling out to the devil in hell this morning. When you listen to me, and I'll say this to you this morning, when the devil seen Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him. You say, preacher, how did they know that he was the Son of God? Honey, I'm telling you this morning, he always has been, always will be, and he'll always be God. Jesus was there in the very midst of the beginning, and Jesus was there when Satan was cast out of heaven. These unclean spirits, they knew who Jesus was. Y'all want to say this to you this morning. You say, well, preacher, I believe in Jesus. You do well. The devils do too. Listen to me this morning. As we come into the context of this scripture, I want you to notice the impact that Christ had. Everywhere Christ went, people was wanting to be around him. Everywhere Jesus was at, people were wanting to be near him. Can I say to you, in the year 2018, on this Sunday in March, and I'll say this morning, when Jesus begins to move, people still want to get in the midst of it. Listen to me, there's a sick world out there, and we need to make more about Jesus than we make about ourselves. I like what Brother Joe said. The pinky is how much we need to focus on you and I. We need to make more about God than we need to make more about ourselves. I want you to notice this morning in Mark chapter number 5, and we're moving this morning. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus had passed over, there was already a crowd waiting on him. There was already a group that knew where he was going to be. There was already a group that was trying to get where he was at. And I want you to notice, as soon as Jesus stepped off of the ship, Jairus ran and met him. Can I say this to you this morning? Jairus was needing help. His daughter was sick. And I'll say this to you this morning. The Bible said that he besought him greatly. And I'll say this to you this morning. We need some people that will besought Jesus, or would get close to Jesus, would have an earnest desire that they wanted to be near him, and they want him to come in, and they want him to fellowship with them. Jairus was seeking Jesus, for he knew Jesus was the only answer that could change the problem he was in. Jairus besought him greatly. And Brother David, I can't help but think that Jairus was almost begging Jesus to come. Listen to me this morning. When's the last time you came to church begging for Jesus to come? When's the last time that wherever you was at, you said, God, I need you. God, I need your presence. Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need to know that you're here. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it'd do some of you good if you would seek Jesus the way Jairus did. He had a sense of urgency. He had a sense of desire. He had a sense that he needed to be with Jesus. He knew that it was only his hope, and he knew that was his daughter's only hope as well. The Bible teaches us that Jairus sought him. The Bible said in verse number 23 that his daughter layeth at the point of death. She was getting ready to die. And I will say this, as a parent, I cannot imagine. I've heard of these situations where parents are finding out their young children are dying, or they're being dead, or they're being murdered. Listen to me this morning. I know, listen, that has to gut-wrench a parent. I cannot imagine the emotional stress and the spiritual stress that an individual goes through with that child. And I'll say this, I believe Jairus was sincere, and I believe Jairus was serious, and I believe Jairus was at an emotional point in his life that he had done all that he could do, and he needed Jesus. Right. Notice what happens. The Bible said, and Jesus went with him. Notice this. Not only did Jesus go with Jairus, but there's a group of people going as well. Notice that they are spectators. Can I say to you this morning, as we are building into our introduction into the message, there is a group of spectators just watching. They know something great's going to happen. They know something wonderful is going to happen. But yet, they don't want to get involved. They're just there. Listen to me. We've got enough spectators in the house of God. Listen to me this morning. We've got enough people that just come by to see what's going on. We've got enough people that just sit back, and boy, they sit back and they wait and they see what's happening, and they wait on that moment that when it's a failure, they'll say, I told you it wasn't going to work. Listen to me this morning. I'm telling you this morning, we need some folks, we need more that are begging for Jesus to show up. We need more people that are seeking Him and desiring Him rather than have a group of spectators. I want you to notice this. Jairus was not concerned who came with him. Jairus did not specify that they could not come. But notice that Jesus was going with Jairus. The Bible says that the people followed him and thronged him. They kind of held Jesus up, might we say. Listen, Brother Odine, I have never turned on Lakeview Street. Me and my wife in our car. I have never turned on Lakeview Street, Rhonda, to drive up to the church and people making a parade that the preacher's here. Listen, and the first one that does that, I'm going to throw a rock at you. But I've never went to a place, Brother Paul, that people were just so excited to see the preacher. But what I'm amazed at is you got a country music artist that people are trying to get to. You've got NASCAR drivers. People are trying to get to them. They just want to touch them. They just want an autograph. Listen to me. You've got NBA ball players that people are trying to get to them. You've got college athletes that people are thronging to get to them. I'm telling you this morning, we need to have the heart and the desire to get to Jesus that the world has to the worldly possessions. Notice they're thronging him. The Bible says in the midst of this, in verse number 25, and a certain woman. Now I want you to notice something about the context of the scripture. It did not give her name. It did not say that Miss Geraldine or Miss Zelma. It did not say Mary. It did not say Martha. It did not say anybody's name, but it called her a certain woman. I can't help believe this morning that at some point in time the disciples may have had some interaction with this individual. I can't help but at some point in time that somebody in the community knew who this lady was. I can't help but believe this morning because she was a certain woman. It wasn't just any woman. It wasn't just any lady, but it was a certain one. Can I say this to you this morning? We are all certain people to the Lord. And can I say this to you this morning? She's not like anybody else. Listen to me. She's not like Sister So-and-so. She's not like anybody else. She's a certain woman. Can I say this to you this morning? And moving into our text, you and I are certain people. And might I say to you this morning, as I'm so thankful that God is not a respecter of persons, I'm so thankful this morning that God does not see me higher than He sees Brother Odin. I'm so thankful this morning that God doesn't see me higher than He sees the drunk on the street. I'm telling you this morning, as I'm a whosoever that got saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus, honey, I'm not better than anybody else, but I am special to God in my own way. Can I say this to you this morning? You are certain to God that you're different. But I want you to notice her condition. The Bible says she had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, the majority of us are grown adults in here, and you and I can imagine what this issue of blood was. And I'll say this to you this morning. I'm not going into any deeper that, but could you imagine this problem for 12 years? I want to give you some facts this morning. If you'll flip to Leviticus chapter number 15 this morning. In Leviticus chapter number 15, the Bible says this in verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever shall touch anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. You say, preacher, that's a whole lot. There's a whole lot more there. For 12 years, she's been unclean. Everything she touches is unclean. Anybody that associates with her is unclean. For 12 years, she has been secluded, separated from everybody else. When they are unclean, listen to me this morning, when they are unclean, they cannot go to the church. When they are unclean, they cannot go to the temple. They have to be set apart and be different than everybody else. Her social life has failed. Her family life has failed. Her relationships has failed because she is unclean, because she is separated, because of the consequences of sin. For the church, she's not been able to go to the temple and wash herself and to give 2 turtle doves for the issue of blood. She has been separated because she's unclean. Can I say this to you this morning? We might say this. She's been marked by everybody in the town. They know who she is. The disciples knows who she is. Listen to me this morning. She ain't been able to go out and purify herself because it's been a constant reminder day in and day out for 12 years. She's had an issue that she had no control of. Can I say this to you this morning? There's not a doubt in my mind at times this lady wanted to go to church, or let me put it as the Bible says it, this certain woman would like to go down to the synagogue or to the temple and to hear the word of God, but she can't. Listen to me this morning. This lady probably had a desire to be there. You say, preacher, how do you know she had a desire? She fought it for 12 years. Notice with me in Mark chapter number 5. Notice this. Verse number 26, it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She went to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we're going to try this. We're going to see how this happens. We're going to see if this helps. And over 12 years, she had faced many physicians, but she found no relief. Not only has she seen many physicians, but she had put all her finances trying to get better. The Bible says that she had spent all that she had. It says there was nothing bettered. Let me ask you this morning, some of you may have faced this, and we'll use it in a small context for the sake of time, but how many of you have ever had a problem, and the more you tried to fix it, the more you tried to better it, the more you tried to get things right, it seemed like it got worse. It seemed like everything went downhill. It seemed like the more you sought advice and the more you tried to help it, it seemed like the problem just got bigger. It seemed like everything just happened. I can't help but believe this morning after 12 years, this lady, how the problem she's had has become so great, Brother David, that it's consumed her daily thoughts. It's consumed her nights of sleep. It's consumed everything that she is. And the problem has become who she is. Can I say this to you this morning? We all know that person who's an alcoholic. We all know that person who's a drug addict. We all know that person who lives in the life of sin. And all that we can know about them is all they think about is when I get my next drink, when I get my next high, when I get my next feel-good feeling, when I get my next problem. Their problem has taken who they are. And they've spent all they had on alcohol. They spent all they had on drugs. And it seems like that they're going down for the last count. I can't help but imagine this morning, this lady thought, this is it. I've got nothing else left. I've got nothing else to put on the line. I've went to every doctor I know to go to. I've prayed about it. I've sought God about it. I've tried to do what's right. And Brother Odin, it just ain't getting no better. But I hear of a man passing by. Can I say this to you this morning? I believe Jesus already knew this woman was going to be on the way. I truly believe this morning. Listen to me. You say, well, preacher, it's coincidence. Listen to me, honey. I'm telling you this morning, it ain't coincidence. Can I say this to you this morning? I was talking to my wife yesterday, and it was after Brother Bill's funeral, and she said, you know, she said this, Miss Maria, don't you throw a songbook at her. Miss Holly, don't you hit her in the back of the head. She says, but I sometimes cringe when you say we met at the First Baptist. She said, because sometimes now they don't hold the same convictions of the preaching that we had. And she said, sometimes, and I said, listen to me, let me tell you something. I said, I don't cringe at all, because it was God's infinite plan for me to be at the First Baptist, to be introduced to Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, to preach the gospel at a church, honey, that was about to shut the doors. It was God's infinite plan to put me in that place, to meet a man named Bill Sparks. It was God's infinite plan for me to be in that place, to meet two families on the Bentons and the Vestals, that I would be at the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. It was God's infinite plan for me to go there so that Ty Benton could get saved at Rhonda Tabernacle. It was God's plan for me to go there so Ryan Suits would get saved at Rhonda Tabernacle. Listen to me. Nothing happens by coincidence. It isn't circumstance. I truly believe that Jesus knew that Jairus would be waiting. I truly believe that Jesus knew the woman would be waiting. I truly believe that Jesus, even in Mark chapter number 3, when he healed these people and said, don't tell, he knew they were going to spread it. Can I say this to you this morning? You're not here by happenstance this morning. You're not here by coincidence at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle this morning. You may say, well, preacher, we just got up this morning and said, you know what? We'll go to church. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you this morning. I'm going into the depth of our message. You woke up this morning thinking that, but God knew you needed to be here this morning. If it was not God's infinite plan for you to be here this morning, you would not have woke up this morning. You would have not put your feet on the floor this morning. God had an opportunity for you to be in the house of God to hear about a woman whose problem consumed her. And the Bible said that she thought, if I could just touch his clothing, if I can just get to his clothing. I want you to notice this morning, there were some circumstances she had to overcome. Number one, she had to overcome the people. Well, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible says there was a crowd. And Brother Chuck, I looked up in Webster what it meant to throng him, and it means they were pressed on him. They were tight-knitly. They were grouped together. They were on top of each other trying to get to him. This lady could have easily sat back and simply said this: there is too many people. There is too many folks in the way. God, if you wanted me to be healed, you would get these people away and give me an opportunity to speak to him. No, listen to me this morning. Even though the people was in her way, she pressed toward him. I'll say this morning, moving quickly. Our problem lies in Baptist Church because of people. Some of us have the excuse, God told me to testify, but I was afraid of what people might say. I would have went to the altar, but I was afraid of what so-and-so might say. I would have done more for God, but I had a husband who would not. I would have done more for God, but I had a wife who would not let me. I would have done more for God, but people were in my way. Listen to me this morning. People are not to determine your circumstance, and people are not stand in the way of your relationship with Christ. Listen to me this morning. You've got to get people out of your way. You say, preacher, are you serious about that? I have been on visitation and ask somebody, do you go to church anymore? Well, I used to go to church down there, but so-and-so did this, and so I quit going. You know what happened? They allowed people to determine their relationship with Christ. I would come to church down there, but does so-and-so still go there? Yeah, they do. I'll not go to church because they go there. You're allowing people to determine your relationship with Christ. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Listen to me this morning. It is not about people. I'll tell you this morning. Our problem is, if we had more workers and less spectators, we'd have more Jesus. If we had more workers than we had spectators, we would be urging people to touch more than the hem of his garment. We would be bringing people to Jesus for healing. I want you to notice her condition. Number one, she had people. Number two, she had a condition that she was not supposed to come. Have you ever heard this saying? I would go to church, but I'd like to clean my life up first. Preacher, I would come to church, but I got to get some things in order. Preacher, I would come to church, but I want to get clean. Preacher, I would come to church, but I got to turn my life around before I get there. You know what's amazing to me this morning? I have been told every one of those statements. God has allowed me to be the good pastor here. I said good pastor, you know. The pastor here at Rhonda's Baptist Tabernacle going on 9 years. I've heard those statements. Brother Chuck, those who says, I need to get clean, I've not seen them yet. Guess what? Brother Scott, they're still unclean. Those who are trying to get their life in order, guess what? They've not got it in order, Brother James. It's still a mess. Preacher, I would get in church. And I was talking to Jeff and Scott back there. But some people says, Preacher, I've got to work 7 days a week. You know what I like? Jeff and Scott, they don't like to work 7 days a week. I don't like to work 7 days a week. And I don't want to work 7 days a week. But you know what is sad is some of our people could be faithful church members, but their life of luxury has forced them to work 7 days a week. They got to have their finances. Preacher, when I get my finances in order, I'll come to church. Can I say this to you this morning? The scripture plainly teaches this lady had spent all that she had. She had done all that she could do. She was at the point of depression, of giving up all life. She did not worry about her finances. She did not worry about, she was unclean. She was not supposed to be around anybody. And anybody that touched her was unclean. But she did not care. You know what I say this morning? Bring the drunk in that don't have church clothes. Bring the drug addict in just like they are. You say, Preacher, this is the house of God. They are supposed to dress a certain way. I'm telling you this morning, I believe when this woman got a hold of Jesus, her clothing changed. The way she acted changed. Her house changed. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad Jesus doesn't care whether you're clean or unclean, whether you got your life in order, whether you got your problems straightened out, whether your finances are right. He said, come unto me. You say, Preacher, what does that mean? He just said, come. I want you to notice number three this morning. I'm done. Not only was her condition keeping her, not only was her people keeping her, but there was also some stumbling blocks along the way. Say, Preacher, how do you know that? The Bible said a certain woman. You know what that tells me? They knew who she was. There were some people that knew her as she came. And undoubtedly in my mind, there were some people talking about her as she came. Undoubtedly in my mind, there were some issues she had to overcome to get to where Christ was at. I'll say this to you this morning. Had she came to Jesus half-heartedly, she'd have never got help. I've heard people come to the altar and they say, I'm praying for my marriage. I want God to have it. I want God to fix it. And I want God to work it out. And you know what? For a while, they'll get back together and they do real good. And when they start doing real good, they don't come to church anymore. They don't have no need for it. And then I find out a year or two later, they're getting divorced. This one's run off with that one, or that one's run off. You know what that tells me? Their heart wasn't where their words were at. I want to say this to you this morning. If we want God to help us, we got to go full in. We got to surrender it all. The songwriter wrote, "I surrender it all." We got home Wednesday night from church, and Anna, after I preach, I like to just kind of go to solitude. Just go to myself. It was much like yesterday afternoon after the funeral. I had never preached a funeral message quite like that. And when I dropped Anna off back at the funeral home and we were coming here to the church to help with the meal and actually to eat, I got my truck and I was riding down the road and I began to think, why did I say what I said? Why did I do what I done? Why did I preach what I preached? And I begin to question, they're going to think, that's the craziest preacher at any funeral I've ever been to in my life. And I asked Anna, I said, how did I do? And you know what Anna's favorite four-letter word is? You did fine. You know what that tells me? Is I made contact, but I didn't get a base hit. I didn't strike out, but I didn't hit a home run either. I was talking to Miss Daphne Cawthorn yesterday, and she was telling me about some of the problems she was going through. And I said, there was a message I preached a few weeks back in February, and I entitled it, Daniel, I Choose Joy. That's the one time in Matthew, in over 11 years of preaching, that my wife ever got in the car, and she said, you really preached good today. She said, I really enjoyed that. Dan, most of the time is, you did fine. And so I was riding down 268 yesterday, and I was thinking, why did I preach that? Why did I even say that? That's kind of harsh at a funeral. And then I get to the fellowship hall, and you know, I put on my smile, and I'm back around with everybody. And I even asked Mama, I said, Mama, how'd I do? She said, well, you done good. You know, Mama's not going to tell her baby boy, you did terrible. You might want to pack it up and quit. You know, Mama's always a word of encouragement. And even at the fellowship hall, I was running through my mind and going back in the scripture and what was said and thinking about. And Miss Eula came up to me at the counter there, and she says, you don't know why you preached what you preached, but you preached exactly what needed to be preached. And begin to tell me the reasons. I want to say this to you this morning. I began to study about this, and I said, God, this is a Sunday morning where time jumps ahead of hour. We're going to be short on people. We're not going to have all our normal crowd there. It's cold. It's rainy. They've called for a chance of snow. You know what amazes me? When they call for snow, Baptists can't go to church, but we go to Walmart. Amen. You know what I'm going to do next time they call for a heavy snow and you see all the cancellations on the TV? I'm going to say, on WXI, where it says Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, service canceled at church, meet at Walmart at 10. No, I'm teasing. But I was running this over my head. I thought, God, we're going to have a real faithful there this morning. Well, God said, I want you to preach it. You know why God wanted me to preach it? Because you're a certain person with a certain problem. And you've fought it as long as you can fight. You've went as far as you can go. And you're at the moment that you're just about to give up. You've tried to fix it. You've tried to straighten it out. You've got that crowd that's telling you you ain't never going to change. You've got that crowd that says you ain't never going to do any better. You've got that crowd that says it ain't never going to happen. It ain't never going to change. You are who you are. You just will accept where you're at. I'm telling you this morning, I serve a God that's passing by this way, that can change the problem, that can change the outcome. Honey, you got to go through those people. You got to overcome your circumstances and come to the Savior this morning. I promise you, if you'll come and lay it all down, if you'll just drop it and say, I'm tired of fighting it, I'm tired of dragging it around, I promise you this morning, He'll change your life. You'll never fix it by yourself. You'll do everything you'll watch Dr. Phil. You can watch Mari. You can watch all your TV shows. It's never going to change. But I can give you this, and I'm done. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I'm going to ask Dan, if he will, this morning come and play softly a hymn of invitation. Why don't you come this morning? You're tired of fighting your problem. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I want to ask you this morning, what's keeping you from Christ?